With us on the phone, Tyler Levitan. Tyler is the spokesperson of the Independent Jewish Voices Group. Tyler will talk to us today about the newest attempts by the Canadian government to target and intimidate BDS activists in Canada through hate speech laws. Thank you, Tyler, for talking to us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So the Canadian government is once again being condemned for its stance on BDS. But before we talk about that recent news, can you first tell us what is BDS for the listeners who are still not familiar with this campaign?
Yeah, sure. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. It's a campaign that was started in 2006 by a broad spectrum of Palestinian civil society. It was over 170 Palestinian civil society organizations, ranging from unions to women's organizations, who put this call out to supporters of their rights around the world to implement campaigns of boycott and divestment, and ultimately for states to place sanctions on Israel until Israel complies with the basic rights of Palestinians. And the three demands are that Israel end occupation of all lands occupied since 1967, so the West Bank, Gaza, and Golan Heights, and to dismantle the law, the wall, the separation wall. The second demand is for Palestinian citizens of Israel who make up around 20% of Israel's population within its internationally recognized borders, for them to have full equality, because as it currently stands, they are discriminated against in well over 30 laws. And the third demand is for Palestinians who were exiled in both the Nakba, or the war in 1948 that led to the dispossession of between 700,000 and 800,000 Palestinians, for them and their descendants and the refugees from the 1967 war to be afforded the right of return, which is ultimately their right already, firmly established under international law and called upon through the United Nations and other international bodies on Israel to respect that. So until those basic requirements, which are all firmly established in international law, are met, it is incumbent on supporters of Palestinian rights from around the world to heed this call from Palestinian civil society and implement these types of campaigns.
So CBC published a recent article by Neil MacDonald where he reports that the Canadian government is basically considering using hate speech laws to target BDS activists. Can you talk to us more about the details of this news? How was this revealed?
So Neil MacDonald found out that there was a number of organizations in Canada, including Independent Jewish Voices, who were very concerned about the recent attacks, assaults on freedom of expression in Canada relating to criticism of Israel. Actually, it dates back to, it really dates back actually to 2009, but I won't go quite that far back. I'll go, you know, back a few months to January 18th. There was a memorandum of understanding signed between Israel and Canada that basically called the BDS movement the new face of anti-Semitism and called for opposing the BDS movement. So Canada and Israel both agreed to oppose it. And then just a few days after that, our Minister of Public Safety, Stephen Blaney, was speaking at a United Nations conference and spoke to the international community on behalf of Canadians and said that the Canadian government is taking a policy of zero, quote-unquote, zero tolerance to those who use rhetoric against Israel. He claims it's rhetoric and support boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And then since then, there's been other kind of governmental declarations and speeches and whatnot that have hinted at the fact that that there's going to be kind of no tolerance at all for this kind of Palestinian human rights activism. So we were very concerned, and actually Independent Jewish Voices initiated a statement that addressed since 2009 the concerted efforts of the Canadian government to try and intimidate and silence and potentially even criminalize criticism of Israel. So we initiated a statement and sent it out and have right now 87 organizational endorsements. So there was a lot of the noise being made in Canada from civil society organizations, ranging from unions to civil liberties associations to anti-war groups. And I think Neil MacDonald picked up on a lot of the fear and, of course, the dissatisfaction of many groups in Canada to the way the government is acting on this front. And so he looked into this question of what does it mean when the government says that it will take a zero-tolerance approach to BDS in Canada. And so he placed the question simply to the Minister of Public Safety's office. And he got this response from one of the minister's spokespeople saying that, basically directing Neil MacDonald to sections of the criminal code and saying that hate speech will not be tolerated in Canada. So Neil MacDonald then presumed, okay, well, that's interesting. So really what's going on here is that by zero tolerance, the government is saying that hate speech legislation will be used to target critics of the Israeli state and those who support the boycott movement. And Mr. MacDonald thought that this was, of course, important enough to do a story on, so he published a story on this. And then the government's response was interesting. They, of course, were embarrassed because they didn't want to actually be, they didn't think that the media would pay attention to what they were doing, and that they would be kind of caught in the situation of having to respond. So they just denied what Mr. MacDonald was saying and said that it was all a big conspiracy theory and there's nothing true about his article. So then subsequently, Mr. MacDonald and the CBC published the correspondence that Mr. MacDonald had with Mr. Blaney, our public safety minister's staff person or spokesperson. So it's all very transparent. Anyone could see it for themselves. But now the government really is backtracking, and they feel embarrassed by this because, of course, it's not very, politically acceptable to try and silence human rights activists who support Palestinian human rights and are heeding the call from Palestinian civil society. So to try and silence them through, this idea that they can be convicted under hate crimes is absurd.
Many are linking this new development or this news to something happened at the beginning of the year where the criminal code, I believe, was changed and the definition of identifiable group was changed. So some people are saying that this definition was changed on purpose to lead to that type of tactic. Can you talk to us more about this? And do you believe that the two are linked? Do you believe that it was intentional to change that definition to be able to have some kind of legal leverage against these whoever criticizes Israel, basically?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I don't have a definitive answer for you, but I can share with you some of our suspicions, and I think that these suspicions were kind of confirmed lately. So we were suspicious of this change to the criminal code. It was put into law in December of last year, so fairly recently, and we made reference to it. We, as an independent Jewish voice, has made reference to this this change to the criminal code in the statement that we wrote and gained endorsements for, as being one of the many ways in which we should be concerned for our freedom of speech in this country related to criticizing Israel. And the reason why we were suspicious of this change to the criminal code is because it parallels exactly the change in the criminal code or the penal code, Code Pénal, in France, which took place, probably around a decade ago. And it's the exact same change. It includes nations in terms of groups that could be targeted as being victims of hate crimes. In France, that change in the penal code there has been used over the last few years to convict at least 20 Palestinian human rights activists for inciting hatred against Israel or Israelis, I guess it would be, and through their support for boycott, divestment, sanctions. So we were very concerned that exact same change had taken place in Canada, while at the same time our government is the most pro-Israel government on the planet. And, of course, we have ministers who are saying that they will take a zero-tolerance approach to this issue and that the work of Palestinian human rights activists is akin to discrimination and anti-Semitism and hatred. So we were very suspicious. And of course, I think what happened with the Minister of Public Safety's response to Mr. McDonald's question around what zero tolerance means is that there was quite a bit to our suspicions. The fact that they responded by pointing to sections of the criminal code, I think, just confirmed our fear around that. But really, the fact of the matter is that even though the government is trying to intimidate people with this and trying to ultimately scare people away from supporting Palestinian human rights, the reality is that our rights are protected under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and that legal experts have been consulted about this, and there's a consensus that it would be virtually impossible for a Canadian to be convicted for a hate crime simply for supporting the boycott, divestment, sanctions, and criticizing Israel. That it's not really a strong case, and it's very unlikely that a provincial prosecutor, which would have to be a provincial attorney who ultimately could pursue hate crime convictions, would also have to proceed police investigations, that this would ever happen. So we're not really that concerned, ultimately, of people being convicted, but we are very concerned that our government would try and, do something so anti-democratic as to try and scare human rights activists into threatening them and calling them hateful and discriminatory simply for supporting a human rights tactic, a time-honored tactic. The use of boycotts have been used throughout history as a means to put pressure on certain actors who otherwise are not going to be listening in any way to our demands. And our demands are completely in line with international law and are necessary for there to ever be, a just and lasting peace that will take place in Israel and Palestine.
The BDS movement started a while ago, maybe in 2006, I believe. So it's been around almost 10 years. Why do you think now there's this kind of revamping or renewing of attacks against this campaign by the Canadian government?
I think that the government is so closely linked to Israel that it's going to do really anything that Israel asks of it. And, of course, because the BDS movement has been growing enormously over this 10 years since its founding, is really terrifying to the Israeli state, because it ultimately can't fight BDS like it can, just kind of bomb people indiscriminately like it does with people it doesn't want to have to deal with. BDS activists are human rights supporters in countries throughout the world, but largely taking place in, campaigns taking place in Western countries, in Europe, in the United States, in Canada, countries that Israel is vitally dependent on for its economic security, and, of course, for political and moral support as well. It's a huge indictment on Israel to be actually losing against human rights activists who are trying to isolate it globally in order to put pressure on it. So Canada is going to be, as our Prime Minister has said time and time again, stands shoulder to shoulder with Israel and do whatever he can to make sure that Israel is satisfied. And that means trying to stifle this kind of freedom of expression in this country however he can. Of course, it's very difficult for the Canadian government to actually legislate that it's illegal to participate in these activities, which is why they have these dirty tricks up their sleeves where they try and essentially bully people and frighten people into not partaking in them, and to demonize and vilify us as hateful and discriminatory. And of course, those are all the things that the state of Israel is, but they are pretty adept at turning reality on its head and using their influence within political and media spheres to try and ram through the head of Canadians that that they are right and they're the victims, that Israelis are the victims, and Jews are the eternal victim, and Palestinians are terrorists. That's essentially the frame that they put forward, and people aren't buying it anymore. People are seeing that their constant dependence on the term anti-Semitism to try and smear people and silence completely legitimate criticism of a foreign state is completely unacceptable, and so they're becoming increasingly desperate, and the Canadian government is sadly fully complicit in this.
I want to read a recent tweet that Trudeau actually tweeted not long time ago, and he said, and I'm quoting, "The BDS movement, like Israeli Apartheid Week, has no place on Canadian campuses. As a McGill alumni, I am disappointed. Hashtag enough is enough." I'm just mentioning that because also elections are coming, and we often criticize the conservative government, but I'm wondering if you think there's much difference between liberal and conservative on this issue. Do you think it would be better if a liberal government, for example, came to power?
That's a good question. I don't think that there's a huge difference, but I do think that there is a difference in that I feel like there would be members in the Liberal Party who are more open-minded and would maybe be willing to listen more to the other side of this issue. And as we know, Erwin Kotler is as bad as Stephen Harper on this issue. He is a well-known apologist for Israel's crimes, and is very outspoken in smearing Palestinian human rights activists, and has been for many years. And he's a stalwart in the Liberal Party, and he's not going to be running in the next election. So not having his presence in the Liberal Party will definitely be a very positive development for the party in terms of dealing with this issue. And hopefully that, as Israel continues to isolate itself globally, it will put increasing pressures on the Liberal Party and also from within their membership, because they do have members who are very critical of Israel, that will be enough to bring about a policy that is less hawkish than the conservatives on this issue.
Do you think all of this is possibly could backfire on them, because they keep mentioning BDS, that now everyone is talking about BDS on mainstream? Do you think that maybe all this will end up being a positive thing for the campaign to get more attention?
Yeah, I already think that it's very positive for the campaign. I think I agree with you. I think it's fully backfired, actually. We wouldn't have gotten this attention, this level of attention, had it not been for their attacks on us. The fact that the CBC has done this story and, we're mentioned now in all this mainstream media probably wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been for the government's intervention on this issue. And I think it's because the government doesn't think very hard about these things. The government acts in a way that really just serves its own mostly short-term political interests. And I see these kind of attacks on the Palestine Solidarity Movement as the government's way of pandering to certain interest groups, particularly conservative elements of the Canadian Jewish community and Christian Zionists. Both of those communities being very strong supporters of the Harper government. So in trying to kind of shore up further support and fundraising from his base, especially in a year of a federal election, I'm not surprised at all by this behavior. But of course, it's short-sighted and it's not very intelligent policy. So it has, in this case, backfired on him, and we're reaping the benefits by getting essentially free exposure from it.
So just final question, what do you think now Canadians can do to support the BDS movement?
I think Canadians need to stand up for freedom of speech on this issue. I encourage Canadians to boycott Israeli products, and I encourage people to educate themselves further on this issue and determine how they can implement a BDS campaign in their personal life, in perhaps in their workplace. There's a product from an Israeli settlement or a product that comes from a company that's complicit in violations of Palestinian rights, that they can try and promote a campaign to have it removed if they happen to work in a store that sells consumer items, if they happen to be at a university, if they're a student, to try and work towards having the university's pension fund divest. There's all kinds of campaigns that can be done, and there's tons of campaigns that have already been done that people can learn from. I encourage people, if they want to see the kinds of companies that are complicit in violation of Palestinians' human rights that fall under the BDS call. I encourage people to go to the website Who Profits. It's whoprofits.org. And there's tons of great research on many different companies. I also encourage you to check out the BDS website, the official website, bdsmovement.net. And there'll be tons of you know, campaign materials and different kinds of resources there, educational, that could be used towards engaging in this campaign.
With us on the phone, Tyler Levitan. He's talking to us from Ottawa. Thank you very much, Tyler, for talking to us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.